Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dialect Coach's Corner podcast, the place where we love exploring language and the way people speak. And I'm Jerome Butler, your dialect coach. And we are again podcasting from the Big Easy, Crescent City, La Nouvelle Orléans, New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm very excited to have as my guest on the podcast a very talented artist who is one of the most recognized Latino personalities in North America. He's a writer and producer, director and actor. You've seen him in Sangre de Mi Sangre, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, Hermanos y Detectives, No Eres Tú, Soy Yo, Jack and Jill, Rob, La Jugada, and in addition to acting in, he wrote and produced Instructions Not Included, La Familia Peluche, and Hospital El Paisa. He's here in New Orleans working on the Dean Devlin-directed film Geostorm, and if we had a studio audience, they'd be putting their hands together right now for Eugenio Derbez. Welcome to the podcast, Eugenio.
Jerome, how are you? Pleasure being here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, very nice to have you. So you've explored New Orleans a little bit because you were talking about one day riding around on a bicycle and sort of just spending the whole day out. What was that like, exploring it on bicycle?
I love it. I rented the bicycle because I was like just walking around and I said, I'm not finding what's the great thing about New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So I just rented a bike like a week ago and everything changed. So I went to the French Quarter, to the City Park, to the Garden District, and the architecture is beautiful. It's like traveling into the past.
Now, you were raised in Mexico City. You currently live in Los Angeles and you're now working here in New Orleans. Have you noticed anything about New Orleans that connects it to its early Spanish past?
Maybe the architecture, basically. The architecture is quite similar. For example, we have in Mexico these very old areas called Colonia Roma or Colonia Condesa. They're very popular. The architecture is pretty similar, like old-fashioned. All the houses here in the Garden District mm-hmm. are very pretty similar to the ones we have in Mexico and those areas.
Now, you come from a theatrical family.
Yeah.
Your mother was a well-known Spanish actress.
Yes. She was the queen of the soap operas. She was the first actress in a soap opera. It was called Senda Prohibida, like Forbidden Path. And it was the first soap opera ever in Latin America. And she started.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was always on the best telenovelas in Mexico. My mom was there. She was the queen of the soap operas.
When did you first begin to discover your talents as an actor? Or your talents in show business? Because you're not just an actor.
It was like quite late, you know? When I was at school, I was the funny guy.
Yeah.
Always. And when we had a festival or whatever, or even a party, I was always making fun of the teachers and making jokes and whatever. But I didn't realize that I was acting. It was like just me. That's yes. the way I am. I realized I was an actor until I was like 26, 27, when I started doing some comedy stuff on TV. I realized that I was funny. Before that, I didn't know I have this talent to make people laugh. So it was like quite late. But at the same time, now that I'm realizing that, I know that when I was at school, I was really acting. I was like
yes.
starting enjoying this funny thing.
What are some of the lessons that you learned from having such a close connection to acting at an early age?
I was born in a family where my mom was really famous, very famous. So for me, fame was something natural. Because sometimes people, when they get famous from one day to another, they start losing their minds and they become a different type of person.
Yes.
And but in my case, fame was always there. I mean, my friends at school, they were always asking me, what does it feel to see your mom on the TV? And I was like, well, same that you feel when you see your mom on the kitchen. I mean, it's was some natural for me to watch my mom on the TV, and it was natural for me people asking her for autographs and photos. Yes. That it's something that it's normal. So that was a great lesson for me, because right now I try to be very humble. I feel like my job is same as the janitor or the taxi driver. It's just a job. The only difference is that people recognize my job because it's exposed. A doctor is not getting exposure. You know, if maybe he's saving a life and then he comes out of the hospital and nobody knows, he just saved a life. But it's maybe more important that than what I'm doing. But yeah. I'm getting recognition and not him. So it's weird and it's unfair. But you have to be aware that there are people that they are more important than you, even though you're famous. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a great lesson.
Let's talk about some of the languages that you came in contact with as a child. When did you learn English?
As you can tell, a few years ago. But I took a lot of English when I was in school, when I was a kid.
I think your English is very good.
No. I have to work a lot on my grammar and my English. I'm trying to make a big effort because my life has changed, and right now I'm working here in the U.S. I took some English at school when I was a kid. You know, I was like always playing and not paying attention. I never realized how important it was going to be for me to learn English. So I didn't pay any attention at the beginning. And right now, like 7 years ago that I started working in English, I've been trying to learn English, but it's very hard. When you are already grown up, it's harder. And you are used to pronounce some certain words. Actually, I've been taking a lot of lessons with dialect coaches, and I'm doing my best, but it's really hard.
Well, let's talk about that, because you are a very verbal individual, I can tell.
Yeah.
And you're really connected to that comedic sense of taking a breath and boom, it comes out.
Yes.
And the rhythm that it comes out and the energy that is along with that rhythm. I could tell that that's a huge part of your style.
Yeah.
How do you work to translate that style into another language? What is your process?
It's really, really difficult because it's completely different, the Spanish versus English, when you try to make people laugh. There are different cultures. There are different ways. I mean, I feel bad to talk about myself, but That's why we're here. I'm known as a very funny guy in Mexico. I mean, might be the funniest guy in Mexico, the funniest comedian in Mexico. And I'm here and I feel so frustrated because I cannot be myself. So I'm very shy. I'm always afraid of making a mistake. So I try not to talk that much. It has happened to me many times that I want to make a joke, a really good joke, or at least I think it's a good joke. And I say, blah, 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 blah. And nobody laughs and nobody says anything. They look at me like, what? So I feel so bad. I try to explain the joke and it gets even worse because people are like, what are you talking about? So I would like to learn English so I can be fluent and can improvise. But the other thing is that you have to be born here to understand the culture and the language. Mm. I don't feel I'm getting there. I mean, I need to work. I will get there eventually, but right now I'm kind of frustrated.
I think it's a common thing that I've heard expressed, this sense of not being known as who they are. Uh-huh. The sense of I'm not really myself, because who you are is connected to your language.
Yeah.
Let's talk about I'm interested about going back and sort of connecting some of these links about language with your first language and your mom. What was your mom's relationship to language? What did you notice? What are some of your earliest memories about the way that she communicated?
She was very proper. Actually, she tried to teach us French because my grandfather and my grandmother are French. They're already passed away, but they were French. My mom used to speak very fluent in French, so she was always communicating with them in French. And she was trying to teach us a lot of words in French and in English, of course, but not that much, unfortunately. But she was very proper with language, mm-hmm. always. She was telling us what to say and what not to say, what was proper and what was improper.
And, you know, my dad was like, oh, come on, let us be. And she was like, no, they have to learn every single word, the proper way to pronounce, to say this or say that. Actually, in French, for example, she was very picky if you mispronounce something in French. For example, if you go to buy something to a store, a perfume, Yves Saint Laurent, everyone was like, I want in Mexico. You have this perfume called Yves Saint Laurent. And she was like, Yves Saint Laurent. Yves Saint Laurent. I was like, Mom, the lady is not understanding you. She's Mexican. She doesn't know French. She doesn't understand you. And I'm like, I don't care. The name is Yves Saint Laurent. She was like, do you have this cream from Guerlain or from Yves Saint Laurent? And the lady was like, what? I was like, Yves Saint Laurent, Guerlain. And she was, got it. Yeah. We have it. So she was very, very funny. And she was the same in English and in Spanish.
Very important for her, you're saying, to actually speak it properly, correct.
Exactly.
And well.
Exactly.
And she, in the proper style.
Yeah, and she spoke French, Italian, English, Spanish, and a little bit of German. So she was very smart.
How did that sense of propriety or speaking languages properly or expressing herself in the correct manner, how did that relate to her acting style?
She was great at portraying characters from different countries. For example, she loved to make accents. She was so good at making French accent, Cuban accent. Actually, she did a soap opera called Angelitos Negros. Mm-hmm. It was a very famous film in Mexico also, where she portrayed Cuban maid. And it was great. She was doing this Cuban accent.
So what would that sound like? What did it...
Mira que ellos hablan con este, se quitan algunas palabras, se comen algunas letras. Es que tú sabes, cambian algunas cosas. Tú sabes cómo son ellos en Cuba. Y Miami, como si estuvieras en Cuba, mi negro. So they speak with different... Y nosotros hablamos mucho más pausado, una manera como más normal. Ellos tienen este cantadito, tú sabes... So it's the difference. Even though it's Spanish, there are a lot of difference between every country in Spanish.
So how are Americans skewered speaking Spanish in television and in popular culture?
How do they speak?
How are we portrayed?
Ellos hablan, estamos, ¿qué tal? Yo soy gringo y hablo muy malo el español.
That is me. If that good.
No. You're very good at languages. But yeah, you know, it's always hard to try to portray a character in another language.
When we are speaking our own language, I don't think that we have a strong concept of how all of those things that we pick up in our own language also exist in other languages. So I just like to explore this a little bit more. You said your mom was good with accents. So what other accents would she portray? What other sorts of characters come to mind, and what would they sound like when she was actually using an accent while speaking Spanish?
She was the queen of the transforming of the disguise also. She, when she was, around the 40s, she did also a character of an old woman, an 80-year-old woman. She was also working on, I remember her working on this way to speak in Spanish, but with this different voice. She was like, it's not just about making another voice, it's about how old people speak. They use different words. I remember her also doing a very popular telenovela called Maria Isabel. It's one of the most popular soap operas ever. She went to the mountains, a la sierra, how mm-hmm. we say, to learn how, because the soap opera, it was about an Indian, Mexican Indian woman. She went to the mountains. She stood there like for a week to learn a different dialect, to learn how to sing in Mixteco. Mm-hmm. It's a dialect in Mexico that exists. And she went there to learn how to carry a baby with this kind of a thing that we call rebozo.
Yes.
It is like a piece of cloth, and you put the baby around you. So she did all that to in order to portray this character, and so she learned how to speak. And ellos hablan como muy cantadito. Tú sabes, son gente que vive en la sierra y no tienen mucha educación. So they speak like that. These people, of course, they don't know how to speak even Spanish. So she went there to try to learn all this, and she nailed it. She was really good at that.
It's really amazing how much we don't realize everything that we hear in our native language sends messages about who the people are, where they're from, what they might do for a living, what their attitudes are. And of course, when we hear dialect spoken in a language that we're not familiar with, that is not our home language, we're just much less attuned to that. So yeah. You might say something in a particular way, and you're sending all these messages, and you're not even aware of the messages that you're
exactly.
You're sending.
Yeah, exactly.
What about a German person speaking Spanish? What do they sound like?
Ellos hablan como muy golpeado. Todo es demasiado fuerte y golpeado. De hecho, yo tengo un personaje que habla así, que se llama Hans Puchenheimer. That was I have a German character that speaks like that. I call him Hans Puchenheimer. But they speak like very strong, like a pa 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 pa.
And what about if I can just throw a couple others at you? What about a Russian individual?
Yo soy un agente ruso. Ellos tienen una manera de hablar muy particular. Tienen como que a la R la echan para atrás y ellos hablan muy extraño.
Fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful. And a great lesson in cross-cultural perceptions.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back with Eugenio Derbez.